Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. I want to remind you that in the first part of this chapter, Jesus' enemies were peppering him with questions. They were not looking for information. They were looking for an opportunity to accuse. They were trying to trip him up. They were deceitful, and they were totally unsuccessful. Well, beginning in verse 35, Jesus had a question for them. Verse 35, Mark chapter 12. This is God's word. While Jesus was teaching in the temple, he asked, "How can the scribes say that the Messiah is the son of David? David himself says by the Holy Spirit, 'The Lord declared to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet.' David himself calls him Lord. How then can he be his son?" And the large crowd was listening to him with delight. He also said in his teaching, "Beware of the scribes who want to go around in long robes and who want greetings in the marketplaces, the best seats in the synagogues, and the places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and say long prayers just for show. These will receive harsher judgment." Sitting across from the temple treasury, he watched how the crowd dropped money into the treasury. Many rich people were putting in large sums. Then a poor widow came and dropped in two tiny coins worth very little. Summoning his disciples, he said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. For they all gave out of their surplus, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. If you want a theme that ties these three stories together, it would be that God does not see things the way we do, but we need to learn to see things the way God does. God doesn't see things the way we do. God sees them differently. But we need to learn to see things the way God does. First of all, Jesus starts with a question from Psalm 110. It is, of all the Psalms, the one most quoted in the New Testament. That was a surprise to me as I was learning my Bible. I would have guessed that maybe Psalm 2 or Psalm 23 or, I don't know, one of the other Psalms would be more quoted. But the most quoted Psalm in the New Testament is Psalm 110. And it is focused on who the Messiah is. And Jesus takes that familiar psalm. It wasn't unfamiliar to these people. Jesus takes that familiar psalm, brings it back, and gets the people to look at it and see it in a fresh light. He asks them a question. Everybody referred generation after generation to the Messiah as the son of David because God had promised that David would always have one of his descendants seated on the throne, and that one day God would raise up a descendant of David who would be the rescuer of the people and the righteous ruler of the people. And so the messianic hope, the hope that God was going to send a rescuer, was focused on this son of David, this descendant of David. When the scriptures talk about someone being a son of so-and-so, it doesn't mean that you're necessarily the immediate descendant, okay? My father was Bill Wood, William Andrew Wood. He was the son of Miles Coston Wood, who was the son of William Andrew Wood. I am a son of William Andrew Wood. I am a son of William Andrew Wood, my father's grandfather. I am a son of William McKendry Robbins. Even though we have different last names, he was my grandmother's father, and I am his son. I am descended from him. That's what that term means. And so we are all sons and daughters of Adam. We are all descended from folks multiplied generations going back. But the idea son of David meant descendant of David. And usually, when that image is made, the idea is that the ancestor is greater, if you will. David refers to the one who will be descended from him. He refers to him as Lord. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. And so Jesus asks a question. Jesus isn't saying that the Messiah won't be the son of David. That's a given. What he's saying is the scribes haven't realized the very miraculous nature of this particular son of David. He will not just be the human son of David, a man born from David's line. He will be David's Lord. They had not bargained on that at all. Jesus is not just the rightful heir, the descendant of King David. Jesus is David's Lord. He is the master, the ruler, the one who is able to say to his enemies, I tell you the truth, before Abraham was, I am. Taking the very name of God and applying it to himself. Jesus was and is God incarnate. And so those who were dealing with him had no idea what they were dealing with. They didn't see things as they really were. And so Jesus asked this question. And of course, the people didn't necessarily understand the implications. But Jesus was planting seeds, and the people were delighted, large crowd listening to him with delight, in part because he was saying things that made the experts in the law seem a little less expert. Jesus was saying things that undermined the phony baloney of the religious establishment who were trying to make themselves appear really important. And so Jesus goes on and he deals with that in the next paragraph. He also said in his teaching, in other words, this isn't everything Jesus said in this little section. Mark is giving us this sample and this sample. And the second sample, Jesus issues a warning. Beware of the scribes. The scribes were the religious leaders. How dare Jesus say that about the religious leaders? Well, let's review. He is God. Okay? So if God says these guys aren't right, he has every right to say that, doesn't he? Secondly, what he was saying was true. It was true. It wasn't rebellion. It was the truth spoken by the master. He says, beware of the scribes. What do you mean? What's dangerous about them? Well, they want to go around in long robes. Is there anything wrong with wearing long robes? Wrong lobes? Long robes? Don't worry, I'm just having a stroke. Why is he criticizing that? What is wrong with long robes? The idea was these men wanted to look important. They wanted to look fancy. They wanted to look in such a way that everybody's going to look at them and say, wow, that's somebody. Okay? And Jesus says, they're trying to look good, but they're not good. Look at what he says about them. They want to go around in long robes, and they want greetings in the marketplaces. They want people to know who they are. Oh, aren't you so, Rabbi so-and-so? I am, oh, wow, I'm so glad to meet you. If that's what you desire, it is an empty thing. It is an absolutely empty thing. It cannot satisfy you. If you crave publicity, you'll never get enough of it. Red Skelton, wonderful comedian of my childhood, said, I was at the movie theater recently, and he said, the movie was about to start, I was relaxing, feeling pretty good, until all of a sudden, a voice yelled out, hey everybody, Red Skelton's here! And he said, immediately, I was swamped with people wanting autographs and all that stuff, and he said, after a few minutes, I was sorry I'd yelled that. The scribes yelled with their clothes, with the things they did. They yelled out, look at me, I am important, pay attention to me, I matter. God doesn't see things the way that we do. What is really impressive to people, not impressive to God. Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His Word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Jesus said they want greetings in the marketplaces, the best seats in the synagogues, the places of honor at banquets. But look at what they're like. Verse 40. They devour widows' houses. In other words, they take advantage of the powerless. They rip people off because they can. That is evil, and God sees it, and God hates it. And they say long prayers just for show. They say long prayers just for show. Who are they talking to? Scripture describes it as talking to themselves. Remember, Jesus told a story about two guys who went up to the temple, and they prayed, and one said, Lord, I thank you that I am not as other men. I do this, I do this, I do this, I do this. I don't do this or do this. I thank you that I'm not like that man. Jesus said he was just talking to himself. God wasn't listening. But there was another man who was a sinner. And he was so ashamed of his sin that he didn't even look up. He just beat his chest and cried out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, that man went home forgiven. He was justified. God will not despise a broken and a contrite heart. But if you want to try and impress God or people with how wonderful you are, it's not going to work. God's not impressed, and he sees our hearts. They say long prayers just for show. These will receive harsher judgment. In other words, they won't just be punished. They'll be punished more severely, Jesus says. And then in verse 41, sitting across from the temple treasury, he watched how the crowd dropped money into the treasury. Did you ever think about the fact that God is paying attention to what you do? I mean, does that ever occur to you that, you know, Moses, when he was about to do something, looked this way and that to be sure nobody was looking? I've been there. I've made this mistake. I want to be sure that I'm not going to be seen doing something I shouldn't do when God sees. And he's the only one who really matters. What audience are you playing for? Whose opinion really counts? If God approves of what you do, then it doesn't matter if everyone else says you're crazy. But if God is displeased with what you do, then it doesn't matter how many people are applauding. His pleasure is what matters. His opinion is the one you need to value. Jesus was watching how the crowd dropped money into the treasury. Many rich people were putting in large sums. Well, that's good. I mean, we like that, don't we? I mean, they were putting in large sums. That's good. Not bad. They weren't sinning by giving. God was not impressed. Because they were giving, Jesus says, out of their surplus. While in Atlanta, we went to breakfast. They brought us oatmeal and toast along with the wonderful omelet. I ate the omelet. I ate 1 1/3 pieces of toast. Well, actually, those pieces of toast were cut in half. So I ate less than a whole piece of toast, and I gave away my oatmeal. By the time the meal was over, we were all trying to give each other food. Okay, why? Not because we're generous and loving, but because it just seemed a shame for all that to go to waste. There was food all over the table. You couldn't buy this and not get that. So here it is, and we're trying to give, would you like this? Why don't you eat that? You might enjoy it if you just try. Folks, unfortunately, a ton of our giving, whether we realize it or not, even large sums, is just the surplus. Because our actual needs are so much less than we realize. We think we need this. God says, no, you don't. We don't need nearly as much stuff as most of us think we do. Okay? The Bible says if we have food and if we have clothing, we should be content with that. Food and clothing. Well, what about shelter? Well, you can find shelter somewhere, but you don't have to own it. Jesus said he didn't. He said, you want to follow me? Birds of the air have nests. Foxes have holes in the ground. Son of man has nowhere to lay his head. What about the things you think you need? What could you live without that you've got right now? Most of what you've got right now. That's certainly true in my case. I don't need most of what I've got. So the question is, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to use it to serve others? Or are you going to hold on to it because it makes you feel significant? I've just been given more stuff. I am so grateful for all this wonderful stuff that I've been given. But frankly, we're now at a stage in life where we're trying to figure out which of our children and grandchildren we can give it to. Okay? And in a number of cases, they say thank you, but no thank you, because they don't want to have to look after it. They're wiser than their parents. Okay? Jesus said these people were giving out of their surplus. Even though it was large sums, it wasn't meaningful because it wasn't costly. They were just giving stuff they didn't really need. But Jesus saw one widow who put in a couple of coins that were worth almost nothing. Worth very little, it says in verse 42. Jesus said, summoning his disciples, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. What? Did you see something I didn't? And Jesus says, yes, actually. I saw her poverty. I saw that she gave all she had to live on. Now, if these two coins were worth very little, it wasn't as if it was going to make a huge difference in her lifestyle. It wasn't as if it was going to put the temple over the top in their annual budget drive. But it made a huge difference in the eyes of God, because God saw this woman's heart, that she wanted to give, and she was willing to give everything she had. She had two coins, it says. Now, I'll tell you the truth. If I was this woman and I had only these two small coins, I would not be inclined to go and give them, especially not when I see the wealth of the temple. But if I felt like I really need to give something, I would have given one of the two coins, right? Either one for God and one for me, or one for now and another one for later. I mean, I just think that makes sense. I try to be practical, try to be conservative, try to stay out of trouble. Wouldn't that make sense to you? You've got two small coins, two tiny coins worth very little. That's all you've got. Wouldn't it make sense, if you're gonna give, to just give one? If you gave 50% of your paycheck, would you feel pretty good about that? Yes, we've gotten up to giving 50% now to God. I once offered God, I can't remember if it was 50% or 80%. R.G. Letourneau used to give 90%. I had friends in Atlanta who used to give 90%. When I offered that to God, it was not out of my paycheck. It was if he caused me to win the Reader's Digest Clearinghouse, whatever it is. Publisher's Clearinghouse, Reader's Digest Sweepstakes, one of those things. I told God if he'd cause me to win, I'd give him, I think I said half the money, okay? And God was so excited, and I was so embarrassed, because basically God's response that I heard in my head was, really? And I thought, oh, I'm sorry, that was stupid. As if God's sitting around thinking, boy, if I throw this contest to the right person, I could get some money out of the deal. You know, I mean, what was I thinking? Crazy, stupid. But the fact is, this woman exemplifies what we ought to do. She gave all she had, and she did it as soon as she could. She did it as soon as she could. And that's the way we need to live. Don't tell God what you're going to do someday. Don't tell God, you know, if you'll do this, I'll do that. Take what you have and yield it all to Him. And don't delay. Do it now while you can.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
www.wearsvalleyranch.org.